go, Janie. How are you?
This is our next guest, Janie L. Smith. She is the author of Creating Competitive Advantage and Relevant Selling. She's president of Smart Advantage, Inc., a sales marketing management consultancy whose clients range from mid-sized companies to Fortune 500 ones. She consults nationally and internationally with many CEOs and high-level executives to help business define their competitive advantage. And Janie joins us today live. Are you in Florida today, Janie?
I am. I'm in hot Florida today.
Hot Florida. I know. We're feeling like 90, and it's the summertime in Florida is amazing. If it wasn't for Willis Carrier, you'd all be north by now.
Little known fact, Florida's never reached 100, not on the thermometer.
Yeah, but the feels like temperature gets there.
That's right.
The humidity is just, never seen Florida and Las Vegas besides gambling, and the Hoover Dam is, and the Boulder Dam is just lots and lots of humidity.
Mm-hmm.
Competitive advantage, everybody looks for it. Your book is now in its 16th printing. I guess you found some competitive advantage in that. This is an important aspect, especially the way business seems to be today.
Yes, it is. I call it the lost discipline as I travel all over the country and out of the country and talk to business owners and sales and marketing executives. I really do come to the conclusion that it's a lost discipline. Very few organizations can cite a solid competitive advantage to build a value proposition. Hence, everybody lets themselves become commodities and price becomes the tiebreaker.
Very, very true. Now, how do you have that kind of honest, you know, because companies like people, the honest discipline of comparing yourself to others is often missing in our genetic traits.
Yeah, well, I don't know, I might not find that true in Hollywood, but just kidding about that. But yeah, if it's not just about comparing yourself to your competition, it's about your ability to talk about what you deliver. So I tell our clients, I say, even if you don't have any competitive intelligence and you don't know what the other guy is doing, there are ways in which you can create differentiators for your own company just by being able to tout what you do and do well. The problem is most companies, when I ask them what's your number one competitive advantage, they give me a list of cliched strengths. You know, good quality, good customer service, good people, knowledgeable, expertise, reputation, blah, blah, blah. Same old, everybody says. That does not separate you from the herd. So I like it best when they have some competitive intelligence. But even if they don't, I'll give you a very simple example. If you say to a customer, we will deliver within 24 hours, that's a promise. Nobody believes promises anymore. I'd rather you say, we have a 98.6% on-time delivery for the past 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. I try to drive home the point that in business, past performance is the best indicator of future performance, unlike a mutual fund, but very few companies do it that way.
You know, you're absolutely right. You hear a lot of cliches when companies talk about their advantage, and you'll always hear the people. The people are not always an advantage. Sometimes, if you're probably a good company, 75 to 90% of the time that's true, but if you're just an average company, it's closer to 50-50 or less.
Well, it's okay if you think it's your people, but you can't just say our people are knowledgeable or we have good expertise, because everybody says that. If you truly have better expertise, you know, we had an HVAC company in Atlanta, for example, and research showed that their customers really wanted to know about the experience of their technicians. So we asked them, we said, you know, how many years experience do they have? And we're not just talking about with you, but how many years do they have servicing these commercial air conditioners? And they had to go to HR and interview all of their people to find out that they had a minimum of 15 years experience. Well, that's a great differentiator that you should be touting. But most companies don't even ask those internal questions about their own staff instead of saying that we have experienced people cliche.
It's easy to spot the cliches because It comes, I think, from elevator conversations.
Right. I'm a great believer in ditching the elevator pitch. You know, everybody says, oh, what's your elevator pitch? The elevator pitch is usually a cliche or a we do statement. This is what we do. So what? Everybody does that. You need to come up with a competitive advantage statement if you've only got a few seconds with someone you're trying to impress. And that's what we teach companies how to do. And much to their surprise, when they get into this process as described in the book, they find scores and scores of previously unleveraged competitive advantages. When we go into a company, we find a minimum of 50. Now, you don't use 50 because 50 aren't relevant, but you do find out which ones are relevant and lead with those.
We're talking, by the way, to Janie Smith, author of Creating Competitive Advantage and Relevant Selling, president of Smart Advantage Inc., a sales marketing management consultancy. Our topic today is how to succeed in today's marketplace, because competitive advantages, you may know them, but if you know them, probably, Janie, I would imagine your competition knows what you got too.
Most likely they do, but in our case, a very big part of what we teach companies, well, let me just go back a bit. The competitive advantage thing is companies either don't have a competitive advantage, or they have it, but they don't know what it is, or they know it, but they don't communicate it, or they don't know what's relevant. And finally, the last one, and this is the most important, they don't have or they don't leverage their internal metrics. So it's not just about saying our people are good or our on-time delivery quality. Let's take quality. Everybody loves to say we have good quality. Well, all right, how do you measure that? Well, we've asked a few clients that. Returns, what's your return rate? Don't know. What do you mean you don't know your return rate? So we have them dig and they find out one client in particular had less than 0.5% return rate. What a wonderful story to arm your salespeople with. They didn't even know it was that good, and certainly management finally had the numbers, and we said it doesn't do you any good unless the salespeople know it and they can start bragging about it. They did. They had a spike in sales immediately. That's what I mean by companies don't have or don't leverage their metrics. The flip side is also true. We had one company, same thing. We said, what's your quality? Didn't know. What's your return rate? Don't know. We said, measure it next month. Next month, they had 68 sales and 54 complaints. They had no clue it was that bad. So that's what we call, you're either sitting on a landmine or a gold mine of data. Both examples are there.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Janie Smith is our guest. You know, nowadays with public financing and stock exchange, and so many decisions are made because of Wall Street instead of what your business really is. How do companies survive in that public kind of world? There's not a decision maker normally the way there is in a privately owned firm.
There's not a singular decision maker, but the teams, usually those big companies, we've worked with everything from the smallest companies to Fortune 100 companies. And we find, of course, the big companies tend to get siloed in some cases or have different divisions. But if you break it down into the different divisions and the different entities or profit centers, you can come up with all kinds of really good things to share about competitive advantages. You know, you talk about big companies, that always reminds me Warren Buffett. He will not put a dollar in a stock or a company if he does not see his two buying criteria, which is strong management team and competitive advantage. Yet, when I ask CEOs and C-suite executives all over the country, how often do you review your competitive advantages when they're being honest? The two most common answers are never and perhaps once a year when we do planning. And I say, well, at least you do it when you do planning. How much time do you devote to it? Oh, you know, we give it almost 20 minutes. Not enough.
Not enough. Janie, price, when times are tough, price becomes more and more important. I know people in business who never pay, I'll call it never pay retail. I mean, they will always try to dicker.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a wise thing to do?
I'm a firm believer in you get what you pay for, and if you're the seller, you are going to get hammered on price if you are not capable of articulating your value. And that's what we do. We help companies articulate their value. So are you going to buy from a company because, for example, this is an argument I frequently have, because they're family owned or they've been around for 70 years, People love to brag about that stuff, but it's not buying criteria. I will pay more, and I will not become a commodity, or buy a commodity, if I know that the company's going to deliver on time, the quality is good, and they have perhaps a good department for solving problems. Whatever the three things are that matter to your buyer, if you do those, do them well, measure them and talk about them and build confidence and reduce risk in the buying decision, people will pay more. We have seen it in over 200 companies we've worked with. You can get out of that commodity corner if you do this work.
Katie, your book's available everywhere, but do you have a website?
I do. It's Smart Advantage, S-M-A-R-T, Smart Advantage, all one word, .com, Smart Advantage.
Janie, a real joy. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate being on your show.
Janie L. Smith, author of Creating Competitive Advantage and Relevant Selling. Time for Your Money on WSVA.
I'm Bruce Bale with Your Money Now. Some retailers are scrambling to look for ways to counter Amazon's